Amen. Y'all are going to need a couple things. If you have a Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 as we hit week 3 of our Advent series, Luke chapter 2. Also, you're going to need a bulletin, which the pastor didn't grab. Front row, hold up, wave your bulletin, show them what's up. All right, it looks like this, y'all. So grab one of those bad boys, open it up. Let's take some notes. If you didn't get one of those, scan this QR code on the screen. Take you to our digital notes. They are amazing. Fill in the blank. Spell check, all the good things. I just want to share something. Somebody texted me while we were having that time. So somebody just texted me this. They said, there are no words to describe what this church has done for me. It has been with me through the greatest of times and my roughest times. Forever grateful for this church and for you, brother. Isn't that awesome? Like God has been, I'm telling you, God is doing something that is unique and different, and it's really, really cool to see. So, guys, we are going to be, again, in Luke chapter 2. Grab your bulletins. I'm going to pray, then we're going to jump in. Father, be glorified in what we do today. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this time and this space, and we pray that you are glorified in all that we think and we say and we do, and we just pray that you would move in a powerful way in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, guys, Advent is a weird thing. If you weren't raised in church, which I wasn't, then you hear the term Advent, you're like, I don't know what that means. It comes from a Latin word that means coming. And so it literally is a time around the Christmas season. It's the four Sundays leading up to Christmas Eve where we prepare our hearts to celebrate Christ's first coming. That's Christmas, right? So we're preparing our hearts for his coming. It's meant to set our minds on the fact that he is coming back as well. So Advent should always come with a little bit of a challenge. So each week you light candles that represent certain things that Jesus alone can bring to us. And so the first week we lit the candle of hope, that our hope is in Christ alone. Last week we lit the candle of peace, that without Jesus there is no peace. This morning we will light the candle of joy. And we're going to talk about how Jesus truly is the joy of our world, okay? Make sense? Good. Okay, good. Now, here's what I'm going to do this morning. We are literally going to read the birth narrative of Jesus from Luke chapter 2, but we're going to break it up into three sections, okay? So section 1, I want you to understand the background of how Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem, okay? Section 2, I want you to understand the gospel proclamation from the angels as they deliver the good news. And then section 3, I want us to focus our hearts on the shepherd's response to the gospel. Okay? Make sense? That's how we're going to break it up. So let's hit section 1 first. And guys, I am in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 7. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Okay, let's do a little bit of recap. So, Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. Now, at this point, they are actually considered legally married, just so you know. You read Luke, he says they're engaged. You go read Matthew 1, it says they're married. What's up with that? Engagement was kind of a bigger deal back then, and just kind of so you know. But remember that Mary is pregnant not by Joseph. They have not come together intimately. And so she is actually was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. This is the Son of God living inside of her. And so therefore, when Joseph hears from the angels, like God's like, hello, that's my son. He's like, okay, fine, I won't divorce her. I'll hang out. And but they never get together. So in Jewish custom, until that act happens, the marriage, like you could still just be considered engaged. But you're married, but it hasn't been consummated, okay? So that's why you get those different accounts. I just want you to know what's up. So Mary is very prego, okay? I mean, she's about to pop prego. She is like, hey, could we get a more comfortable donkey prego, okay? So it's about It's about a 35-hour walk from where they live to Bethlehem. I don't know how long that takes a pregnant woman on a donkey, y'all, but I'm assuming a while. Okay? I don't think Mary's like, well, just throw me on there. We're going straight through. You know, I don't think it's one of those road trips, fellas. We're like, just, we got a bucket. You're fine. I don't think that's how this went down. And so I think it took them a little while, and evidently it took them a little while, because by the time they get to Bethlehem, everyone else has already beat them there, and there are no rooms left in the inn. Now, that word inn is an interesting term. It means inn, lodging place, or it just means guest chamber. Guest chamber. So they have to go to Bethlehem because they're controlled by the Romans. The Romans say, we want a census. We got to count all you folks and make sure we're still, we got all the ruling powers and authorities where they need to be. And so they go down for the census. They get there. There's no room in the inn. So they stay on the first floor. The first floor of especially in kind of like a peasant kind of home where they had extra, the first floor was just where you kept all the animals. So they stayed where all the animals were. Jesus was literally born with sheep and goats and all the dirty stuff that you could imagine. And it says she wraps him in swaddling cloth and she places him in a manger. So that's the backstory of how they came to Bethlehem, why he's born in Bethlehem. Now let's dive into the rest of it. Two things I want to share with you as we talk about the joy of Advent. Here's the first. I want you to know that Advent brings joy. Because the good news of Jesus is for you. Advent brings joy because the good news of Jesus is for you, offering salvation and reconciliation to all who believe. Okay? Say it one more time. Advent brings joy because the good news of Jesus is for you, bringing reconciliation and salvation to all who believe. So now let's read the next section of Luke 2 together, starting in verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to the people that he favors." Notice the announcement from the angel. I'll put it on the screen. "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news." Good news. What does that word mean? My youth know it. There's the other word for it. We studied it for 13 weeks. What? Gospel. The angels show up, and what did they proclaim? The gospel. They show up. The birth announcement of Jesus, y'all, is the gospel. Today, for you, in the city of David, has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Like, they come and they pronounce the gospel. 13 weeks we spent talking about it in Galatians. This child that has been born, he is the solution to our sin problem. This child that has been born is the one that is coming that God promised way back in Genesis 3 that's going to set all things right. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the one that's going to make us right with God, that's going to reconcile us to God. Now, I want to say this to you. Remember, we learned this in Galatians. If this Savior came so that I could have a right relationship with God, remember, if anything in regarding my relationship with God is based upon my performance, is that good news? It's not good news. It's bad news because I'm going to blow it, right? So they come proclaiming the gospel. The angels proclaiming the gospel. This child, this answer, this one that is going to make us right with God, this child is, get this, grace on display. This child is a picture of the grace of God. This child is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Isn't that Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? We've studied this before. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We're saved by grace through faith, and this isn't from yourselves. It's God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Now, who is this gospel for? Who is this good news for? Let's look at it again. Verse 10 and 11. Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Right? It'll be for all the people. There is an overarching grand sense to that statement, isn't there? This gospel is for everyone. This gospel is for all the people. This brings up images of John 3:16 in my head, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves the world. This Savior, this Messiah, this child that we celebrate at Christmas came because God loves humanity. God loves the world. And according to John, he is for all who believe. So all who put their faith in the Savior, all who will believe in this child, all who will believe in the proclamation of these angels that this is the one that has come to save us, all that will believe in these words, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you who is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. All who will put their faith and trust in that can be made right with God, right? All who do that, according to John 3:16, will not perish. But they will have the life of God again. How does that happen? Well, remember Genesis 3? We were cast out of the presence of God because we were not right with God anymore. So this child will make us right with God. And when we're right with God, we have access to God. When we have access to God, we have access to his life. We will no longer die condemned or in separation if we put our faith and trust in this gift of God, in this Savior. Right? So this is good news. I mean, this is good news for the whole world. But more specifically, did you see who this is for? Right? Look at, again, verse 10 and 11. But the angel of the Lord said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. But get this, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for who? For you! For you! Not just on some big global thought that Jesus came and he just died for everyone. No, that Jesus came for you. Guys, I can't let Christmas pass without saying this. Do you know that God loves you? That's what Christmas is proof of. Christmas is proof that God loves you individually, uniquely. Not just that God has this affection for all of humanity, but that he individually, knowing all that you've done and all that you'll ever do, that he, in spite of it all, loves you individually, personally. Like, that's the message. That blows my mind. That this solution to sin came, not just for the world, but for me. But for me. This gospel is not just universal. It's not just for, it's not just God so loved the world. This is something on a very personal, individual level. And this Savior who died for you personally, I need you to hear this. This Savior who died for you personally, that's what Christmas is about. God loves you. Jesus came for you. He lived a life that you couldn't. He died the death that you deserved. He conquered that death and rose again and said he was coming back for you. And this Jesus that did all of that for you personally, listen, you have to receive him personally too. That's the truth of the gospel. This Savior who died for you personally must be received personally. And y'all, I've been doing this for a long time. And so I make a point of saying this because I talk to too many people that say things like, I've believed in God all my life, or I was born a Christian. No, you weren't. You weren't born a Christian. We talked about how we were born last week, right? We talked about that last week. We aren't born Christians, right? We're born, literally, we're born into separation. We're born into sin. We're born into alienation from God. We're actually born into being enemies of God and rebels. That's how we're born. So listen, the gospel, the good news, which comes for us personally and individually, for us to receive it, means that we have to believe it on a personal level. And Jesus called that being born again. Being born of the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that all who do that become sons of God. They are adopted into the family of God. They become full heirs to the kingdom of God. We do this individually by believing, putting our personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So I say this to you in love. If you've never done that, don't let this Christmas pass without doing that. Christmas is about too much for you to let it pass by with some global thought of a God that is good and is loving. Yeah, he's so loving that he provided a solution to your sin problem, but that solution is the only solution. And you must accept him personally. So that's where we begin, okay? That's where we begin. Advent brings joy because the good news of Jesus is for you, offering salvation and reconciliation for all who believe. Second thing I want you to know, guys, is that the joy of the gospel should naturally compel us to go and share it with others, right? The joy of the gospel should naturally compel us to go and to share it with others. So section 3 of Luke 2, let's look at the angel's response to the gospel. Or the shepherd's response to the gospel, right? So that's what it is. How did the shepherds respond once they heard the gospel? I'm in verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So the Lord has made known the gospel. They say, "Let's go check out the gospel." Verse 16, they hurried off and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. You know what they did? They went and witnessed. That's what they did. They heard the gospel and they went immediately and shared the gospel. They heard the gospel, the proclamation of good news. They ran and immediately, what else could they do? They're like, "Ha! That's him! That's the baby! That's the one! Son of God! Son of God! Answer to sin! That's him! Messiah! Let's go!" Like, good news, great joy, all people, for you, for me, born here, and people are like, "Whoa! That's really cool." Can I ask you a tough question? What is it about the gospel that you think people won't think is cool? What is it about the gospel that you're so afraid people are going to reject you for? That God loves them? That God sent a solution to their problem? They know they have a problem. Okay, listen. That's why they have a counselor. That's why they're on medication. That's why they suffer from anxiety and have a weighted blanket, right? Like, they know, that's why they drink as much as they do. That's why they constantly have something to suck on with nicotine in it. Like, the world knows they have a problem, y'all. Get over it. We all, not a single person I know looks in the mirror and goes, "Man, you're killing it today, bro." I mean, nobody just sits alone in a room and be like, "Man, I wish I could be as good as me." Nobody. Everybody knows they're broken. They just don't know what's going on. And when you go to them in the midst of that and go, "Hey, I've got the answer." And by the way, that's what Christmas is about. A Savior has been born for you. And he's Christ the Lord. And it's for you. This is the solution. We're meant to go and to share. So Luke 2, 17, 18, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told about, had been told to them. I love that. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them. That phrase, spread the word, means to tell abroad, to make known thoroughly. They immediately went and told others what they themselves had heard and believed. Guys, have you heard the gospel? In this place, ever? Just every once in a while? Okay. Have you believed it? Okay. Then our natural responsibility is to go and share it. To go and tell others what we've heard and what we've believed. By the way, that happens to be the commission of the church. This happens to be the big thing that Jesus tells us about. I'm going to ask you to turn to one more place. I didn't tell you about it, but it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 17 and read through 19. Then I'll put 19 on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17, says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Verse 19. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. This is now our mission. This is now our job. If anybody asks you, what's the mission of the church? Ready? The gospel. That's the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to go share the good news with people everywhere. God has uniquely put us all in different places, okay? Let's do this. On three, I want everyone to say out loud the place during the day where they spend the most amount of time, okay? One, two, three, now. Okay. You guys are all over the map. I thought it'd be a little more. No! It's spread out, right? You couldn't tell where everybody was. That's on purpose! This is the Great Commission, ready? It's going to rock your socks off. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore, go. Some people would say, therefore, as you are going, ready? Make disciples. By the word make, if you're following along in your actual Bible, not just your electric one, electronic one. If you got the electronics, fine, highlight it. Make matters. You got to make something. You got to reproduce something, right? So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. First step of discipleship is sharing the good news. Okay? That's how it works. Before you tell somebody everything you know about the kingdom, you got to bring them into the kingdom. That's why it matters. So you got to come to know Christ, and then, hey, this is what I know. This is how to pray. This is how to study the Bible. This is how to live on mission. This is how we worship. Right? And then you challenge them. Now you need to go and do what I've done for you. Go and make another one of us. Right? Spiritual reproduction. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The heart of what Jesus is saying is all those that have been reconciled to the Father by putting their faith in me now have a new mission in life, and that is to do this. Okay. So I say this in love. We get off a little bit real easy, okay? So we have a tendency to think our purpose is to, and when we say, well, my purpose in life is to, and we typically, whatever we fill the blank in for is what we do. By the way, do you remember, spiritually speaking, do you guys remember, we just talked about it last week, Satan takes the guilt of God, which is meant to lead you to repentance, and he weaponizes it to use it as guilt, right? And one of the things that he tells you is not that you are who you are, but you are what you do. Can we look at the other side of the coin? You guys have never thought about this as being something that the devil could use. He's convinced you you're what you do. Well, I'm just a teacher. Well, I'm just a coach. Well, I'm just a builder. Well, I'm just a salesman. Well, I'm just a... What? No, you are not what you do. You are who Jesus says you are. You're a child of God. You're on mission. You're supposed to be reconciling the lost world unto God by speaking the gospel. That's who you are. That's who you are. You are not what you do. That is as equal a lie as when we convince ourselves that we are the sin we've committed. That is a lie. That's not who you are. You're a child of God, saved by the grace of God, called to share the grace of God with everyone you come into contact with until Jesus returns. That's who we are. Does that make sense? Okay, so what do? I got to let you go. Hey, we're almost going to be on time. Let's go. By the way, pray for my wife. Very sick. I think she has the flu, like 102. She's like, we got some stuff going on. So if I am too late, I'm going to hear about it. I can't believe you let him out late. Okay, let's go to application. Application number one. Personally believe in Jesus and be reconciled to God today. Y'all, I can't say it enough. Man, become a child of God today. In a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity. If you've never done that, don't feel weird. We've had somebody do it almost every single week up in this place. It's awesome. become a child of God today, just realize, like, yep, I'm broken. God recognized it. I've heard I need saving. Yep, Jesus, would you, I don't know how all that works, but man, save me. Make me a child. Do that in me today. You'll have an opportunity to do that in a moment. A second, I want to challenge you guys, number two, to go and tell others the good news that you've heard about Jesus. And you don't have to find a mountain to do it. I know that's our Christmas song. Go tell it on the mountain. Go. I don't care. Go tell it on the highway. Go tell it on the byway. Go tell it in the grass. Go tell it by the dumpster. Go tell it at the gas station. Go tell it at HEB. Go tell it at Walmart. Go tell it to your neighbors. Man, everywhere you go, just go tell others that God loves them personally, individually. Have crazy conversations with them. Like, say things that freak them out. It's okay to make people uncomfortable. Like, somebody's just having a bad day, and blah, blah, blah. Maybe they're complaining a whole lot. That's my favorite. Just look at them and say, man, do you know that Jesus would have died on the cross just for you alone? And all of a sudden, all that complaining stops. They will look at you like, what did you just say? Oh, I wanted you to know that you're important. I think what I'm hearing is maybe you feel a little unseen, but I want you to know that God sees you, and he loves you so much that he sent Jesus, and Jesus would have died just for you. Man, that changes things, right? Let's be about going and sharing the gospel. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this morning. Then we've got some announcements. We're going to let you go. Upstairs, I've learned this. I always say, we're going to lower the lights for a moment. They're going to go higher first. That's just the way the light board works. We got to go up and then down. I got it. It's my fault. I've been shaming people. I think they felt bad. I was like, all right, what are we doing? And then somebody loving is like, Pastor, let me show you. It has to go. I was like, oh, my bad. So watch this. It's going to be like lightning. Don't look up, okay? Lights are going to go up real high, and then we're going to go down real low for a moment, because what we're going to do here is, I think, the most important thing of what we've done for the last hour. So if we could lower those lights by going up and then down on the slide. There we go. Perfect. Man, that was seamless. What? Of everything that's happened and transpired, and, man, we've worshiped through song and through sacrifice, and then we gave above and beyond, Glory Sunday, and all that's great. And I got to preach the word, which is like one of my favorite things to do in life. But everything that we've done, the most important thing that we'll do will happen here in the next 2 minutes. So I'm going to ask you where you are just to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. Many of you are Christians, and man, I praise God for you. My challenge to you is that second point. During this time as we pray in a moment, I want you to ask yourself, why am I not sharing the gospel? You're the answer, by the way. Bunch of ways you can do it. Guys, easiest way to share the gospel, invite somebody to church, okay? That counts. Why am I not inviting people weekly? Why am I not telling others what God's doing in my life? And then finally, the actual gospel, how they could be saved, okay? So Christians, get on that. But if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in God, but you walked through the doors this morning and maybe you're hurting, maybe you felt isolated, but today you've heard that there is a solution to how you're feeling and that his name is Jesus. If today you would like to put your faith and trust in Jesus and become a child of God with every head bowed, every eye closed, just where you are, would you just raise your hand and just say, yeah, I'd like to become a child. I'd like to become a Christian today. I want to follow after Jesus. Just raise your hand where you are, okay? Just hold them up so I can see them. Thank you. Awesome. Man, thank you so much. Okay, cool. If you raised your hand, nobody else is looking, but you make eye contact with me real quick. Just real quick eye contact. I see you. Okay? I see you over there. I see you. Okay? Awesome. Okay, so here's what we're going to do, guys. We're just going to pray. And when somebody wants to become a child of God, the reason we pray this prayer is not so Christians can wonder, how many times did I ask Jesus into my heart? No, you did that the first time. When we pray this prayer, we're just going to pray out loud for these people that said, hey, I want to be a child of God. And for you people that raise your hand and say, I want to be a child of God, you're just going to pray out loud along with us. This is designed to not make you feel uncomfortable, but it's also so Christians are equipped as they go to make disciples, to help lead others through that sinner's prayer of how you become a Christian, okay? All right, so we're going to pray out loud together. Let's pray. Dear God, I come to you right now. Just ask that you would forgive me. I've known for a long time that something's wrong. And today I heard what that was. Father, I've sinned. I'm so sorry. But I also heard that you sent a solution. Your one and only son, Jesus. Jesus, I just want to say that I believe in you. I believe that you came to earth, that you lived a life I couldn't, and that you died the death I deserve. Jesus, thank you for that kind of love. Would you come into my life right now? Forgive me of my sins. Make me yours. Teach me what it means to follow you for the rest of my life. I'll be yours from now on because I am a child of God now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Guys.